Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
They kind of flew under the radar, but Arkansas basketball practice began on Tuesday. You know, football has been so bad the last few years that basketball practice had kind of become this destination date, I think, for a lot of fans, you know, who were tired of watching the football team lose. And then all of a sudden you get a top 10 football team and you forget about basketball practice season starting. So it flew a little bit under the radar, but the Razorbacks have got about 6 weeks to prepare for their season opener. They'll open with Mercer on November the 9th at Bud Walton Arena. Matt Jones joined by Scotty Bordelon today, and making his debut on our Whole Hog podcast is our newest hire, Andrew Joseph. Scotty and Andrew were at the Basketball Practice Center yesterday. You guys got a pretty good look at the practice. Scotty, what were some of the takeaways that you had?
Yeah, you walk into practice, and it was pretty clear that Arkansas is a little banged up right now, which is, you know, not ideal. You know, your first day of training camp, but at the same time, you know, it was the first official practice of the season. But Arkansas has been going and blowing in practice for quite a while now, you know, all through the summer. And, you know, some of the guys that were either out or limited, you know, some pretty big names that you're, you know, expecting to make impacts. KK Robinson, you know, he's dealing with soreness in that foot that, you know, forced him to have surgery and missed the back half of last season. Trey Wade, he was wearing a stabilizer brace on his right leg, and he was having to swing that right leg out a little bit. He's going to be out, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. It's a tendon issue with his knee. It was non-surgical, which I think is, I mean, that's a plus, I think. But, you know, he's missing some valuable time right now, continuing to mesh with those guys. I think the two that I'm least concerned about is Jalen Williams. He was, you know, he's been spotted wearing a boot. But, you know, these days, you know, if you roll an ankle in practice, sometimes you wear a boot. So he was, I think they're load managing him a little bit. I don't want to use that term too much, but I think that was exactly what it was. He was still on the floor, kind of more in a vocal leadership role than anything. He was, you know, working with teammates who were going through drills and whatnot. I think he's going to be a real big voice on this team. And then a guy that I was really interested in seeing was Audisi Toney from Pitt. I think he's going to be one of their, once he gets on the floor, I think he's going to be one of their biggest impact guys in terms of, you know, newcomers and from the transfer portal. He was limited on Tuesday. He's got a little bit of a sore knee, I think a left knee, but he needs to get right, because one of the biggest part of his game is, you know, his explosiveness and, you know, kind of getting out in the open floor and making things happen and utilizing some athleticism. But just the injuries kind of jumped out to me, but I think Arkansas still got plenty of talent. I'm kind of interested in what Andrew thought too, because it was a pretty high intensity practice for day one.
The intensity was what something that caught my eye from the second we stopped in there. And it wasn't just that they were doing one thing intensely. It was everything they were doing had attention to detail and focus to it. And just kind of the groove that they were in practice for the first day was something I wasn't expecting them to already kind of look to be in. I wanted to see how they went about their combinations and who was playing with who. And it looked like the red team had most of the returning starters with Devo, I think, and Connor, and I'm not sure, I forget who else was on there, but they had the returning starters. And then when they break out into those shooting groups, it looked like the red team would stay with them. And then it had Jackson Robinson and Chance Moore on one side and Kamani and Connor on the other. And I'm trying not to read too much into that on the first day, but that is something I've been wondering, is how Musselman is going to fit this roster that has all these double-digit scorers in a rotation that he only likes to place seven guys maybe in a game. So that is something that I went into practice wondering, and I'm still not quite sure how they're going to handle it. And I think Musselman even mentioned that in his press conference, but that's something to keep an eye on, looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's kind of got his work cut out for him right now with those four guys being out or being limited in some ways. Like, it's hard to get a picture of like who plays well with who and who complements which guys, or which bigs play best with which, you know, backcourt guys. And, you know, it's going to be tough for him to figure out, you know, the most efficient, effective ways to practice when you don't have all of your pieces. But I think, you know, you still got, even with those four guys out, you still got a lot of talent on the floor. I was pretty impressed with Jackson Robinson. I know we can get into some more detail later, but I was pretty impressed with him. I wasn't sure what to make of him, to be real honest, because he didn't see the floor a lot at Texas A&M on a bad Texas A&M team. But, you know, I think he's developed pretty well throughout the summer, and I like his jumper. He's got a really quick release. He can get it off. Doesn't need just a whole lot of airspace. So I'm pretty excited about him. Saw a good bit of him yesterday, maybe more than we would have if some of those other guys had been healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And Jackson Robinson was one of the guys that I wasn't expecting to play a significant role coming into this season, just for the same reason that you said, he didn't play a lot on a bad team. But then watching that practice, he looked to be one of, if not the best outside scorer on the team, and has a nice shooting stroke. So it'll be interesting to see if he can maybe take some minutes away from those older guys.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a solid part of this team. He's going to help them, I think, right away, just being a floor spacer.
Scotty, one of the things that Eric Musselman said after the practice during his meeting with the media that I thought really stood out to me was about Stanley Amude, the transfer from South Dakota. He was really complimentary of how he had been coached. Now, of course, he was coached at South Dakota by a guy who had been with Musselman previously, I think during his CBA days. But, you know, he said that he thought that background, that coaching background that he had really helped prepare him to jump into Arkansas's practices and really not skip a beat.
Yeah, you're right. And Eric Musselman and South Dakota's coach, Todd Lee, they're pretty similar. And, you know, they got a lot of the same terminology and the systems that they run, you know, on both ends of the floor. And then just kind of their practice lingo, if that makes any sense. So they're pretty similar. And I think it made for kind of a seamless transition for Stanley. And just watching him, he moves like a pro. To me, like, he moves like he's got, you know, a lot of experience playing at the college level. It's not at a high major level, but he's gotten buckets on, you know, lots of teams that at the Power Five level, especially Kansas. I remember when I wrote his what to expect analysis, Bill Self at Kansas was super complimentary of him. And Stanley, I think, scored close to 30 points against Kansas in a game that I think South Dakota scored less than 60. So he's a bucket getter. Really like him. And, you know, Devontae Davis made an interesting point when I asked him about Stanley. He said, you know, a lot of people thought that when Stan came in that he was going to be like the plug and play replacement for Justin Smith, but they're not the same build. They're not the same player. Stanley is much more perimeter oriented. You know, he's got a good post up game too, but that's maybe not the strength of his game. Pretty good isolation at the elbows. I think he's a real pick and pop threat. He's Justin Smith was very mobile, really good in transition, but Stanley is very, very mobile. Arkansas is going to be able to utilize him in a lot of different ways. But he had a really good summer. And I think he's, like you said, because of Todd Lee, you know, he just kind of stepped into Arkansas's practice. And you can kind of tell that he's the most well-coached, previously well-coached transfer that came in. You know, I think that kind of expedited the summer growth with him.
In that loss that you were talking about to Kansas on December the 18th, 2018, 89-53, they lost. He scored 28 points on 8 of 13 shots that night. And here's what Bill Self had to say. He said, he killed us. Whoever guarded him, he was out without question, the best player on the floor.
Yeah, he's going to be special, I think. And, you know, last year, Justin Smith played so well, I kind of developed a crush on just the way that he plays, the way he went about his business. And I think this year, Stanley might fill that role for me. I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of defender he is, and if playing with, you know, a more talented, connected group of guys in turn makes him a better defensive player, because there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be an excellent offensive player. He's been one of the most utilized players in college basketball the last couple of years. You know, when he was at South Dakota, his shot percentage was, I think, it ranked in the top 10 in the country, according to KenPom, like the last 2 years. So he's used to scoring. I want to see more of him defensively, because I think that's going to, determine just how much he's on the floor. And I think he's going to be on the floor a lot anyway.
21.9 points per game last year at South Dakota. That was the ninth highest figure in college basketball. Andrew, what did you think watching him?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell from watching him that he's a veteran guy and he's been around. I mean, he wasn't taking plays off and doing, he's doing things the right way. And I mean, the coaches at that practice, if you weren't doing it the right way, they were going to let you know. And I mean, he was one of the guys that, you know, they didn't have to get on, and they weren't having to, he's self-motivated. They weren't having to light a fire underneath him. And I think the question mark for every Eric Musselman team every year he reloads with transfers is how well are the transfers going to acclimate? And I think he's probably got a leg up on all the other transfers that Musselman's had so far, just because of what Musselman said and how well he's been coached in the past. And it showed.
Scotty, one of the things that I thought was interesting too, was hearing Musselman talk about JD Notae. Said that he may have changed his body more than any other player since he had gotten to Arkansas. Talked about he's working out, lifting weights at night by himself after his team goes through their weightlifting sessions during the daytime. Said that they're pretty much having to kick him out of the gym at night because he's spending so much time there. And I know you've looked into this more. They're going to need JD Notae to play well for them this year with all the points that they lost from last season. He played pretty well for him down the stretch last year, even got his defense in line late in the season. What do you expect from him, and just what do you know about what his offseason has looked like?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people could probably call me a creeper for this, but I follow him on Instagram. And if you follow him on Instagram and you look at his story, you can tell pretty easily if you kept up with it, you know, throughout the summer months, that this kid is serious about not only his health, his workout habits, but just how much he's in the gym nonstop. Like, I don't know when he sleeps and I don't know when he goes to class. I know he has to go to class or he wouldn't be playing, but I mean, he spends most of his time in the weight room and he even meal preps. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with how well he's taking care of his body. And I know he's in the weight room sometimes at midnight with a GA who's on call. And I don't know how I would feel if I was a GA and one of the players asked me to go work out with them at midnight, but they're hard after it. And you know, I don't know that JD was necessarily thin when he got here, but he looks just really physically impressive. He's very well put together and built, and it kind of, he needs to be that way to kind of take the beating that he sometimes does, just with the way he plays. He likes to get to the rim a lot and try to finish through contact. And I think he's just real serious this year. It's kind of a money year for him. Could be his last year, and he probably wants it to be his last year, selfishly. He's attacked this offseason, you know, probably as well as anybody, you know, in terms of the guys I've kept up with. You know, Eric Musselman needs him to lead this team in several different ways. Like, this will be his third year with the program, and he can help out a guy like Chance Moore, who I think is, you know, trying his best to acclimate to the college level, but it's taken him some time. Kind of feels like he's floating or gliding through practice, and JD can help out there. And you know, they're going to need him to score again. And we know JD can score. It's just, is he fully committed and bought in to being a relentless defender? And we saw last year several times throughout the year that he can be when he's locked in and engaged. And if he's solid on both ends, he's going to be playing. He's going to be playing for a check somewhere very, very soon.
Now, one of the things that you're able to see at practice yesterday is the two new assistant coaches. Of course, you know, they changed in the offseason. Keith Smart came in, Gus Arginal came in, a former Musselman assistant coach. What were your thoughts watching them during practice?
Yeah, I think he's just very organized, and you know, everybody's on the same page. And if you're not, you know, like a couple of times Eric Musselman had to stop practice because, you know, a player or two weren't doing what they were supposed to, and they got everybody on the same page. And then, you know, there's some encouragement going on from some of those assistant coaches who are like, hey, you know, your practice time is kind of indicative of the way that you attack practice every day, and your intensity level's got to be high. I know it's very, very difficult to do this, but your attention to detail and your intensity has to match the coaching staffs, or you're going to be sitting and watching a lot. And I think those assistant coaches do a pretty good job of, you know, kind of getting into a guy's ear in a positive way. You know, there's some tough love, but in a positive way, just encouraging them, you know, to do the right things in order to, you know, have the role that you want.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, an interesting dynamic at the practice when Musselman would stop practice to single out a player and kind of just, you know, get under their skin. And then right after that, an assistant coach would walk over to him and kind of give him that positive reinforcement. It was kind of like a good cop, bad cop scenario where one, they come at you hard and then they come right back at you with, you know, how to do it and why they're getting on to you. And I think it's a dynamic that works. And I think you can see that they're very comfortable with it and you can tell they've been working together as a staff in the past.
Very professional approach that they take. I mean, of course, Musselman, a former NBA head coach, longtime professional basketball coach in various different leagues. Clay Mosier came from the Lakers. Keith Smart has an NBA background. It's pretty incredible when you look at the background of these coaches. The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit them online at SteveLandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
Scotty, let's go back to something you said earlier in the podcast, which was when we were discussing injuries and KK Robinson's injury. Obviously, he missed most of last season with this foot injury that he required surgery. How big of a concern do you think this is that that's not fully healed, or at least that it's still something that's giving him issues here 6 weeks or so before the season's set to begin?
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, speak like recklessly on this, but I remember when I talked to KK in June and was talking about, just went over the timeline of the injury with him, and he said, you know, his foot started bothering him last October, and he really started to notice it when the football team went to a basketball game. And you go, or the basketball team went to a football game, excuse me. And that, you know, you're walking to a football game on campus, you can't help but walk up and down hills. And that put, you know, I think some added stress on that foot that was already bothering him. And then he kind of didn't really say anything about it. And I'm wondering if that time where he didn't say much about the injury is kind of coming back to bite him a little bit. Again, that's a little bit of speculation on my part, but just, you know, it's still nagging him. And he didn't really get to do a whole lot, you know, during the 12-week stretch during the summer, but he did get cleared at one point, and he got cleared for full team activities and whatnot. But it's a little bit of a concern. I mean, that's some added backcourt depth that you would obviously like to have. And he can be a pretty nasty defender, you know, picking up full court and giving opposing point guards some issues. You know, I want to see KK play more, and I just would like to see him healthy, and hopefully, you know, some of this downtime and, you know, continued work on the side just helps him get back on the floor. Because if they add a guy like him to their rotation, that backcourt can be pretty filthy. He brings a lot more than just being a defender. You know, I think he's a pretty good floor general on the floor. And I think he's a young guy that obviously doesn't have a whole lot of experience, but he can be a leader too. Just a matter of getting healthy, and I just hope that happens sooner than later.
One of the things in the offseason, guys, was the picture that was tweeted, I think, by Musselman, where Connor Vanover was standing next to, I guess, like a measuring stick, and said that he was maybe taller than 7'3". Do we think he's taller than 7'3" now, or do you just kind of lose reference at some point?
Yeah, he might be. I just know I walk into the gym knowing Connor is tall, so I don't really know if he is taller, but I know that Eric Musselman said that the training staff has told him that Connor has added some weight, and I know that that's like a constant thing on message boards and on Twitter. Any reaction you see that's about Vanover, they want him to add some weight. It's just that with that frame, you know, he could add 15 pounds and you might not be able to tell just because he's so long and he's got so much frame to fill up. It might just be in some places you can't see necessarily with a uniform on, but you know, I think Connor's worked in the off season, just like some of the other guys have. It just, those results may not show, but Eric said that, you know, since their summer session has ended and school has started, it seems like he's put on a little bit of weight. We'll have to see if that holds. I know last year during the summer, you know, he got up to about 247 pounds, pushing 250. And then he got sick and lost some of that weight, and he never fully added it back. And I think that, you know, was a little bit of a detriment to him last year. But I think, you know, just him adding a little bit of weight, you know, is going to help him, you know, in the interior with, you know, all the physicality and athleticism that other SEC teams are going to bring on the interior.
Yeah, I think his weight's always been a big deal just looking at him, because people think he's so tall, he's so big that he should be able to handle any big in the SEC. And I mean, when you're 7 foot, whatever, it's not always the case to be that mobile or that strong. And I think if he is getting taller, then it's going to be even harder to notice that weight gain that he's talking about, because if he's getting taller, you may not even be able to notice it.
Now, the polls that we focus on, you know, they're not going to come out for another few weeks, but it is interesting that some of these preseason polls by different media publications are beginning to come out. Razorbacks ranked number 10 by CBS, number 13 by Blue Ribbon, number 14 by ESPN, number 16 by Sports Illustrated. The AP and coaches polls, like I said, will be released here probably within the next few weeks as we get closer to the season. Musselman talked about this, Scotty, about the expectations, about embracing that. And I think last year's run to the Elite Eight really has to help this team in terms of embracing expectations, because sometimes you'll see basketball teams get high rankings based on just their recruits, you know, based on you know, just what people expect from them from a talent standpoint. This is a team that not only has talent, but they've also, you know, been in that pressure pot last year when they beat Texas Tech in the second round, and they beat ORU, and they played Baylor in the Elite Eight. You know, they've faced some pressure now. And so I think that probably helps them handle these expectations and manage that a little bit better.
I think this could be a unique situation where some of the younger guys on this team, like Devo, Jalen Williams, you know, they can help some of these older guys too that have not played on, you know, necessarily nationally relevant teams before, you know, kind of get them up to speed. And I think that's kind of interesting to me, because Devo and Jalen Williams, they really blossomed last year when the pressure was on them. That's pretty special. And then, you know, Devo, according to Stanley Amude, said, you know, he's one of the more unique guys that he's played with. And I think those younger guys are learning, or those older guys are learning, which is interesting, from guys like Jalen and Devo, who have been there. And that, you know, if I had to guess, you know, the way things are going right now with other sports on campus, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Arkansas's, you know, kind of maybe in the top 10, maybe number 8. You know, we've seen several teams on campus ranked number 8 in the latest polls. Don't necessarily know. I'm just kind of speaking off the top of my head, but this team's got a lot of expectations. And I think Devo, in the time that we talked to him on Tuesday, he just seems supremely confident. And it's not like he wasn't last year, but you can kind of feel like that second year glow from him, super confident. And he really enjoyed his time, you know, fielding questions from us on Tuesday. He's a guy that, you know, he understands kind of the expectations and kind of the hype that's around the state. I mean, he's an in-state kid. Central Arkansas is, you know, they're as crazy about the Razorbacks as anybody or in any area of the state. And so he fully understands that. And Jalen Williams, you know, he comes from a basketball rich part of the state too. They get it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what lessons maybe the younger guys can teach the older guys that, you know, haven't been a part of a team that, you know, has the potential to be this good.
Yeah, I think the national spotlight is shifted towards the Razorback basketball program under Eric Musselman, and a lot of that has to do with not only their success in the recruiting, but I think just his social media outreach as well. I mean, he's consistently one of the most socially engaged coaches in the country, and he wants it that way. And so I think that the way they go about their business is they want to make the Razorback basketball a national blue blood brand. And I think, you know, they started off unranked in this first year. Now they're coming in this year in the top 10, 15 in whatever poll. And, you know, they've shown that they can get there. Now the question is, how do they sustain this success? And like you said, recruiting and the rankings are often a two-way street, where you're getting ranked high because you land a top recruiting class. But then on the other side, you're also landing top recruiting classes when you're ranked higher. And I think we see that now with Arkansas in the mix for some top recruits for this upcoming class as well.
Yeah, Andrew, you mentioned, you know, Muss's, you know, social media reach. I woke up this morning at like a little bit before six, and I had a reply from him about a tweet that I put out yesterday about JD. I mean, he's all over the place. He's always pushing, you know, like Sam Pittman talks about, you know, putting the logo out there. Eric Musselman's, you know, is as good as anybody that's, you know, pushing the brand on social media anyway.
Skull Sparks, which is a company out of Tulsa that does a nice job of tracking social media engagements. They said that during the month of August, that Musselman had 78,000 interactions on his Twitter account. That was the most of any basketball coach. Number two was Juwan Howard with 47,000. I don't know if he sleeps, or either that, or he's got somebody who doesn't sleep that does his social media for him.
I think that's part of Riley Hall's job description. I mean, Eric walked into the press conference yesterday and he's wearing the 100-year check for AD of the year t-shirt, and Eric sits down, and then as soon as he sits down, you know, he's not on his phone, but I look at my tweet deck and there's a tweet from Eric Musselman with the shirt that's in Riley's job description. But yeah, he is all over the place and he's active. I think kids this day and age, they want to see a coach, you know, interact every way possible, not just in the traditional avenues.
This is the first of two basketball podcasts we're going to have this week. Tomorrow, we're going to have a basketball podcast that focuses on recruiting. Of course, you know, Arkansas has been so good since Musselman has come to town in terms of getting players out of the transfer portal, and not just getting players out of the transfer portal, but, you know, great job of getting those players to be contributors on their team. You know, they do a great job of going and getting a lot of graduate transfers, older players who are, you know, maybe more ready-made to play. So we're going to talk about that, but also what they've done in terms of high school recruiting, because you're starting to see them get in now, and this isn't surprising, but you're starting to see them get in on more high-profile basketball recruits. And later today, one of those high profile recruits, a five-star guard out of Central Arkansas, Nick Smith Jr. from Sylvan Hills, he's going to announce where he's going to play college basketball. And Arkansas is one of the four teams that are a finalist for him. And we're also going to talk about the basketball schedule. We haven't had a chance to talk about the basketball schedule since it was released. A lot of really intriguing games on the schedule. Until then, go to wholehogsports.com to read Scotty's 11 takeaways from basketball practice, the first basketball practice of the preseason. Lots of content there at wholehogsports.com. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The preceding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.